It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, December 19th at Wind River Resort and Casino inside Elements Lounge. Join me, along with Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Mike Costa on drums, and Lou White on sax, flute, and clarinet. Enjoy an evening with your favorite Christmas music along with jazz classics. That's 6 to 9 p.m. in Elements Lounge. For reservations, call 243-3377.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a ton to get to today. We'll get to the House Judiciary Committee voting on impeachment. We'll get to President Trump making a trade deal with the Chinese. But we begin at this hour with the big news. Boris Johnson, the new Prime Minister of Great Britain, with enough of a majority to ram through Brexit. Well, Great Britain, slow clap for you. Slow clap for you today, because Jeremy Corbyn, who is a vicious communist anti-Semite, not only lost the election last night, he's going to drop his leadership in the Labour Party, which is just a wonderful, wonderful result. And this was a big gamble by Boris Johnson and the Conservative Party. So Boris Johnson had basically brought Britain to an election on the basis that he didn't have a mandate to push forward with Brexit. Now, 2 years ago, there was a vote on Brexit. Sorry, actually, it was in 2016, so it would have been 3 years ago. There was a vote on Brexit. And the people of Britain decided that they were not going to go along with the EU's overregulation and centralization of power. And this came as a shock to the world media. The world media expected that the Brits, they'd be sophisticated enough to just go along with the EU and the EU's free immigration policies, that Britain would swallow the crow of having to deal with Angela Merkel's individual German immigration policies, and then because of free transport, everybody would be able to move across state lines into Britain, that Britain would be fine with the overregulation from Brussels, every aspect of British life being controlled by unelected bureaucrats in Brussels. And it turns out that the Brits were not okay with that, and they voted that way in the largest single referendum in the history of the nation. Well, ever since then, the government of Britain has been trying to stop Brexit from happening. So Theresa May kept putting forward Brexit proposal after Brexit proposal, but she didn't have enough of an electoral mandate in order to get that done, because members of her own party, some of them thought that the Brexit deal was too easy on the EU. Others of it thought that it was too harsh on the EU. Labour was standing against Brexit. There just was not, she didn't have the numbers. And so she ended up leaving the prime ministership. She was widely perceived not to really want to do Brexit in the first place. And Boris Johnson replaced her, the very colorful former mayor of London. And Boris Johnson took over, pledging that he was going to get Brexit done. And he tried to ram it through. He tried to suspend Parliament at one point in order to shorten the period that Labour would have to stop him from ramming it through. In the end, he was unable to do that, and so he called new elections. It was a risky move, because the fact is that the British people could have said, listen, we're tired of all this Brexit stuff. Let's have a second referendum, and this time we will cut against Brexit, and we will stand with the Labour Party. Well, instead, Labour is handed a crushing blow, just a massive, massive blow, as the Conservative Party in Britain walks with an 80-seat majority in the House's Parliament, which is an incredible, incredible thing. I mean, it truly is. It's the biggest landslide against Labour, I believe, in the country's history. It's this incredible, incredible blow to what is an incredibly powerful party in Britain. And it's not just a referendum about Brexit, obviously, although it was the British people saying, listen, we've said over and over, you guys, you got to get it done. Just get it done. What do we have to do here? Get it done. It was in part that. In part, it was a direct referendum on the leadership of Jeremy Corbyn, who is indeed, as I say, a communist and an anti-Semite who has never met an anti-Semitic dictator he does not love. According to the AP, Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Conservative Party has won a thumping majority of seats in Britain's Parliament, a decisive outcome to a Brexit-dominated election that should allow Johnson to fulfill his plan to take the UK out of the EU next month. With 642 of the 650 results declared on Friday, the Conservatives had 358 seats, and the main opposition Labour Party had 203. That is a blowout. A blowout. Johnson said it looked like the conservatives had a powerful new mandate to get Brexit done. This makes Johnson the most electorally successful conservative leader since Margaret Thatcher. It was a disaster for left-wing Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, who faced calls for his resignation even as the results poured in. Meanwhile, the Scottish National Party won almost 50 of Scotland's 59 seats, up from 35. That will embolden their demands for a new referendum on Scottish independence, but Parliament has to go along with that. Parliament is not going to go along with a new referendum on Scottish independence. The centrist pro-EU Liberal Democrats took only about a dozen seats, and Liberal Democratic leader Jo Swinson stepped down after losing in her own Scottish constituency. The Conservatives took a swath of seats in the post-industrial northern English towns that were long Labour strongholds. Labour's vote held up better in London. That was pretty much the only place where Labour held up. The decisive Conservative showing vindicates Johnson's decision to press for Thursday's early election, which was held nearly 2 years ahead of schedule. He said that if Conservatives won a majority, he would get Parliament to ratify his Brexit divorce deal and take the UK out of the EU by the current January 31st deadline. Johnson said the historic election, quote, gives us now in this new government the chance to respect the democratic will of the British people, to change this country for the better, and to unleash the potential of the entire people of this country. More on that in a moment. But first, it's already December. As much as we love getting seasonal, this month can be a little bit stressful. We got a long list of things to do for the holidays. If life insurance is one of those things way down on the list, elevate it for like 5 minutes, and then you can just get it done. This is why Policy Genius exists. Policy Genius makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. In minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers and find your best price. You could save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. And Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They can also help you find the right home and auto insurance, disability insurance. So, if you need life insurance but you're not sure where to start, why not start at PolicyGenius.com? That only takes a few minutes to find the right life insurance policy, apply, cross another thing off your to-do list. Policy Genius, when it comes to life insurance, it is very important to get it right. And again, you don't want to buy a life insurance policy through word of mouth. You may not be getting the best deal. Competitive shopping always helps you, especially on important issues like life insurance, also home insurance, auto insurance. PolicyGenius.com. Head on over there. They make it quick, they make it easy, and it'll be less expensive than if you just do it by word of mouth. PolicyGenius.com. Labour economy spokesman John McDonnell said, "I think Brexit has dominated everything by the looks of it. We thought other issues could cut through and there would be a wider debate. From this evidence, there clearly wasn't." Well, yes, Brexit was the big issue. The other issue is that Jeremy Corbyn is a nut job, and everybody in Britain understood that Jeremy Corbyn was a nut job. The chief rabbi of England came out and said that Jews should not vote for this anti-Semitic party. Astonishing. Astonishing. And you've already seen the pressure have its toll. Jeremy Corbyn announcing last night that the election had gone quite poorly for him, and then announcing that he was going to step down from leadership of Labour.
I want to also make it clear that I will not lead the party in any future general election campaign. I will discuss with our party to ensure there is a process now of reflection on this result and on the policies that the party will take going forward. And I will lead the party during that period to ensure that discussion takes place and we move on into the future.
Okay, and everybody cheers. This is in his constituency. So the way that it works in Britain is that everybody who is in Parliament obviously has to be a member of Parliament. So the leader of a parliamentary party has to be a member of Parliament. You have to be elected in your own constituency. So Boris Johnson announced his election victory basically in a congressional district, the way that it would kind of be the analogy in the United States. It would be as though in Congress, the biggest party in Congress then had a leader, and that leader's party, the party leader ended up becoming president of the United States. It's sort of like that in Britain. That's how the parliamentary system works. So that means that everybody is announcing from their congressional district or from their constituency. In this case, what was wonderful about that video where Jeremy Corbyn is announcing that he will no longer lead the Labour Party in general elections, a couple of things are wonderful about this. One, Britain has this incredibly great tradition where all it takes is basically 50 pounds or 500 pounds or something. I think it's 500 pounds in order to stand for Parliament. If you do, then you get to stand on the stage as the parliamentary election results are read. So behind behind Jeremy Corbyn is standing a dude in a white coat and a goofy hat, which is pretty spectacular. And behind Boris Johnson, by the way, in his constituency, was Lord Buckethead and Elmo, which is always wonderful because, honestly, democracies shouldn't take themselves that seriously. Human endeavors are all ridiculous, and this is just proof of it. But the best part of this is the Jewish guy in the yarmulke, who presumably was campaigning with the Conservative Party, who is standing behind Boris Johnson and smiling broadly as Jeremy Corbyn announces that he's not going to be leading the Labour Party. And good for the Brits. Good for the Brits for rejecting this piece of garbage, Jeremy Corbyn. And he is awful in every possible way. He is awful. Not only is he basically a communist on policy, but he happens to be a vicious anti-Semite, and he has for years. Liam Hoare had a piece in the Tower.org back in 2015 describing how Corbyn hobnobbed with anti-Semites. Corbyn said in 2009, quote, "It will be my pleasure and my honor to host an event in Parliament where our friends from Hezbollah will be speaking. I've also invited friends from Hamas to come and speak as well. Unfortunately, the Israelis would not allow them to travel here, so it's going to be only friends from Hezbollah." And Corbyn then said he didn't mean that they were just his friends. He just meant, like, friends collectively. And the Labour Party was rife with anti-Semites who had entered the halls of power thanks to Jeremy Corbyn. Again, none of this was new, but the British people were not going to embrace that, and good for them. Good for them. Now, did any of that stop Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from endorsing Jeremy Corbyn? The fact that he is a radical leftist who has never met a dictator he doesn't love and has never met a Jew hater he didn't become friends with? AOC tweeted out a video. She tweeted this out just before the election from Jeremy Corbyn. "This video is about the UK, but it might as well have been produced about the United States. The hoarding of wealth by the few is coming at the cost of people's lives. The only way we change is with a massive surge of new voters at the polls. UK, vote." They did. It ended poorly for them. It wasn't just AOC calling on the Brits to show up in favor of Jeremy Corbyn. It was also Bernie Sanders. So Bernie Sanders' team, the head of Bernie Sanders' national organization, Claire Sandberg, tweeted out, "The Bernie team says vote Labour. Solidarity with all the folks knocking on doors in the cold rain, getting out the vote for the many, not the few." So and then it showed a picture of people holding Bernie signs alongside people holding Jeremy Corbyn for leader signs. So openly endorsing the anti-Semites to get absolutely smashed at the polls. Spectacular stuff. I do love the UK Guardian, which is beside itself this morning. The UK Guardian has an entire piece about how the Russians stole the election for Boris Johnson. Now, the disconnect between the polls and the actual final election results are pretty stunning, because leading up to this election, there were a bunch of polls that were done. The media were covering this thing as though it was very, very tight. Everybody was very nervous. Listen, I had calls from people who have hundreds of employees in Britain, and somebody said this to me yesterday. They literally said, as the polls were happening, they said if Jeremy Corbyn became prime minister, they were going to remove the business from Britain. Okay, there was just the reaction of the British people to Jeremy Corbyn was violently anti, because he's awful. And that really helped Boris Johnson. It also helped Boris Johnson that a lot of working class Brits were sick of the elitists in Britain telling them that they had to listen to the elitists in Brussels, that they had to accept Angela Merkel's foreign policy, and that they had to, that they had to accept Sweden's social policy. They were not up for it. According to the AP, on the whole, Labour tried to focus the campaign away from Brexit and onto its radical domestic agenda, vowing to tax the rich and nationalize industries like railroads and water companies and give everyone in the country free internet access. It campaigned heavily on the future of the National Health Service. It appears that was not enough to boost Labour's fortune. Defeat spells the end for Jeremy Corbyn, a veteran socialist who moved his party sharply to the left after taking the helm in 2015, but who now looks to have led his left-of-centre party to two electoral defeats since 2017. He was also accused of allowing anti-Semitism to spread inside the party. Labour members were pissed. The London mayor, Sadiq Khan, who is a member of Labour, he came out and he said Jeremy Corbyn's leadership is disaster area. Khan has been quite critical of Corbyn, specifically because of Corbyn's open tolerance of anti-Semitism inside the party. Sadiq Khan, who's looking for a leadership position in the Labour Party, he said this general election result is nothing short of a catastrophe for the Labour Party, for London and for the UK. For the fourth general election in a row, the Labour Party has failed to put forward a compelling case to the British people. It is no consolation that we performed so much better here in London. We have fundamentally failed those that most desperately need the help of a Labour government. They include the sick, the poorest, the vulnerable. Our dedicated activists did all they could. As ever, I'm truly grateful for all their hard work. And then he just goes right after Corbyn with a steak knife. If we are truly honest with ourselves, we knew in our hearts that Jeremy Corbyn's leadership was deeply unpopular with the British people and that we were extremely unlikely to form a Labour government last night. Labour's shocking and repeated failure to tackle anti-Semitism. Okay, this criticism is coming from inside the House. And I'd just like to make a note for the Democratic Party in today's America. Guys, you could do the same thing to the anti-Semites in your own party. You could say, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, you're not helpful. By the way, it is worth noting that Rashida Tlaib, there is that Jersey City anti-Semitic shooting, which, by the way, could have been so much worse. When I say it could have been so much worse, that, I mean, six people died, four people who were good, and the two shooters. The shooters, apparently, were actually aiming for the site next door where there were 50 school-aged children studying upstairs, Jewish kids. They actually shot at the door. And then when they couldn't get in the door, they went into the kosher supermarket and shot that place up. Rashida Tlaib had tweeted out how terrible the shooting was and blamed it on white supremacists. Then it turns out it was black Hebrew Israelites. And then she deleted the tweet. She has not tweeted anything about Jersey City. I believe AOC has not tweeted anything about Jersey City. Ilhan Omar, my understanding is, has not tweeted anything about Jersey City. You know, if you guys in the Democratic Party don't want to go the way of labor, then perhaps you ought to consider tossing the radicals out of your own party. Good for Sadiq Khan. He says, labor's shocking and repeated failure to tackle anti-Semitism and our inability to put forward a credible and believable set of priorities for governing have made a major contribution to the scale of this defeat. Brexit has accelerated a fundamental shift in British politics and rewritten our political map, the full extent of which is not yet fully understood. However, labor now stands more politically and culturally removed than ever before from many of the people our party was formed to represent, and that means asking ourselves some very difficult questions. The next 5 years are full of grave challenges. We'll leave the European Union on Boris Johnson's terms. Our union with Scotland is in peril. We'll face damaging and far-reaching changes to our economy and public services from this hard-right Tory government. The Labour Party will have to change fundamentally in order to rise to these challenges and confront the new political reality that we face. Jeremy Corbyn has said he will stand down. This simply must now happen quickly. But the changes we have to make will not end with his leadership. That is damn well true. Okay, it's not just going to be Jeremy Corbyn. The entire Labour Party has to be purged of the communists and the anti-Semites if they wish to be competitive again. It is good for Western civilization that Western parties not embrace communism and Jew hatred. So, very good result from Britain last night. I'll explain in just 1 second what I think this means for the United States, because people are taking lessons away from this in the United States. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about how sophisticated hackers have become. I mean, they are looking for your data, and they are great at this. Here at Daily Wire, we invest thousands of dollars in cybersecurity because we are regularly targeted by attacks. But as an individual internet user, you don't need an IT department to protect you from online threats. What you do need is ExpressVPN. I've been talking about ExpressVPN for quite a while. You know it's important to make sure that your internet activity is protected. There are too many people who want your credit card number, who want to sell your data to big tech, who want to monitor you. I mean, the government wants to monitor you based on the data use that you actually engage in. This is why you ought to be using ExpressVPN. You might think that nobody actually wants that data, and truth is, you may never be hacked, but all it takes is one time, and my goodness, it is going to be such a pain in your rear. You don't leave your front door unlocked at night, and you shouldn't go online without ExpressVPN. The only question is why you have not gotten ExpressVPN yet. It's incredibly easy. You download it to your computer, your phone, your tablet. One click, you're protected. Check them out, expressvpn.com/Ben. You get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Protect your internet today. Go to expressvpn.com/Ben to get started. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Coming up, we'll talk about what this vote in the UK means for the U.S., because a lot of people are drawing the analogy, and I think in some cases it's appropriate. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, big election in Britain last night. It goes very well for the conservatives and horribly for Labour. What does this mean for the United States? Well, a lot of conservatives today are saying a few things. One, the disconnect between the press and the people in Britain is just as large in the United States. The press in Britain cannot believe this. Cannot believe this. I mean, if you look at the UK Guardian today, the Guardian is just beside itself. Again, they printed an article in the UK Guardian today in which they suggested that Boris Johnson had won because the Russians helped him cheat. I mean, this is one of my favorite articles. The headline over at the UK Guardian, which is sort of the equivalent of, in Britain, The Nation, maybe. They say, winners and losers. Few bright notes on a grim night for Labour. Yes, yes. So the media in Britain is very much disconnected, especially the mainstream media in Britain, very much disconnected from the people. And so they can't believe that a lot of the Labour strongholds, those white working class strongholds in the north of England, voted in favor of the Conservative Party. And one of the big factors here is that Nigel Farage made the correct decision to get out of the way. So Nigel Farage's Brexit Party was slated to win some of these seats. And he went to Boris Johnson, and it was obvious that Johnson, in order to get Brexit done, needed that actual, the votes that were going to go to the Brexit Party to go to the Conservative Party. Farage did the right thing, stepped out of the way, and now Brexit is going to get done. So good for Nigel Farage. So the media disconnect is very similar to that in the United States. The media in the United States cannot believe that there is a single human being in the United States who would vote for Donald Trump. And that means that some of the polls are probably a little bit wrong. Okay, the polls on this thing were not particularly good. The polls on Trump may not be all that great. Now, I'm not a person who discards poll data wholesale. I think you got to take it for what it's worth. But when you talk to conservatives, when pollsters call them, sometimes they just don't answer the questions the way they honestly believe because they're screwing with the pollsters, because they don't trust the people asking the poll questions. Very often, poll numbers are a referendum on the people who are asking the questions more than a referendum on the subject of the questions. So there is that. The other thing is that the populist appeal of Boris Johnson is not off-putting to people. People in the British media thought, okay, this Boris, he acts like a clown, Boris Johnson. He drives like trucks through walls, and the truck is labeled Brexit on it. A very Trumpian kind of stuff. Now, there is a difference between Boris Johnson and Donald Trump, which is that Boris Johnson is an actual classic scholar. Like, Boris Johnson is a quasi-philosopher. If you actually sit down and talk with Boris Johnson, dude is incredibly bright. That's not to say Trump is stupid, but Johnson is a quasi-intellectual. Okay, with all of that said, his affect is very much like Trump's. And the media don't get it. The media are like, why this sort of clownish behavior? Why can't we have the radical Noam Chomsky college professor Jeremy Corbyn? In the United States, it's the same thing. Why can't we have Elizabeth Warren, who teaches classes at Harvard Law School? Why can't we be genteel? The American people don't care about that. They want someone who speaks blunt truths. The same thing as in Britain. It is worth noting, when I was back in college at UCLA, I took a course on British politics, and I remember writing a paper specifically about the close mirroring between the outcomes of British elections and the outcomes of American elections. Basically, Britain and the United States tend to move politically in tandem. When Britain moves to the left, the United States tends to move to the left. When the United States moves to the right, Britain tends to move to the right. It tends to presage particular shifts, which is why a lot of people saw Brexit as sort of an indicator that Trump was going to do better than expected. By the way, it would be a very good thing for the country if the Democratic Party would move somewhere closer to the semblance of sanity. That would be quite a good thing for the American people. Coming up, the Democrats.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com. KCNR 1460.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
The holiday season is here, so why not give the gift that keeps giving? Perhaps a social membership or golf lessons. Riverview Golf and Country Club has been providing home away from home entertainment. Find out how you can become a member today. Go to RiverviewGolf.net. That's RiverviewGolf.net.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
To come into a place with this many people and not know the people and be comfortable immediately, that says so much to me. Everybody's so happy. Everybody's talking to everybody. I felt apart the minute I moved in. the music that's brought in. What a wonderful thing to do for people, that we can go down and sit and relax and be entertained. I absolutely cannot imagine a thing that could be done around here that would improve it in any way.
Call today for a tour or lunch and a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, yesterday, the House Judiciary Committee held hearings on a markup for the impeachment charges, and the hearings were insane. They held a vote on impeachment in the House Judiciary Committee. They did this, they were going to do this last night. The whole thing was theatrics. So the last 24 hours has basically been all of these idiotic hearings in the House Judiciary Committee for markup of the impeachment charges. They were never going to get marked up. Nothing was going to change because the majority, the Democrats, don't care what the minority, the Republicans, have to say. In fact, they don't want any of those rules applied. And so this hearing turned into a quite entertaining, if completely useless, spectacle in the stupidity of these impeachment hearings generally. So this morning, the House Judiciary passed the impeachment vote along completely partisan lines. This is clip 20. Here's what that sounded like.
Mr. Chairman, there are 23 ayes and 17 noes.
The article is agreed to. The question now is on Article 2 of the resolution, impeaching President Donald J. Trump.
Unbelievable. So, again, this is a bipartisan effort. Clearly, the Democrats are just worried about the constitutional implications of Trump's behavior. Now, the Republicans are going nuts over this, and they're going nuts in very colorful fashion. Mitch McConnell, who is the turtliest of turtles, right? I mean, Mitch McConnell is not somebody to overstate the case. He says, listen, this is not happening. There's no chance that Trump is removed. This is what Mitch McConnell sounds like when he is agitated. Have you ever seen one of those T-shirts that has the moods of Darth Vader? And it's just the Darth Vader mask, like angry Darth Vader is the same as happy Darth Vader. That's Mitch McConnell. This is Mitch McConnell agitated.
The case is so darn weak coming over from the House. We all know how it's going to end. There's no chance the president's going to be removed from office. My hope is that there won't be a single Republican who votes for either of these articles of impeachment. And, Sean, it wouldn't surprise me if we got one or two Democrats. It looks to me over in the House, the Republicans seem to be solid and the Democrats seem to be divided.
Yes, well, that is certainly true, by the way. Representative Doug Collins, it was a great opportunity for Congress people to put their names in the headlines. And that meant you got a lot of colorful, good TV, a lot of Al Pacino in And Justice for All. Right? You're out of order. This entire court is out of order. Here's Doug Collins doing that, Republican from Georgia.
Democrat in this room, they should be happy about this. The solemnity should be on the death of this committee's process and procedures. Don't give me the solemnity about impeaching a president. You've been wanting to do that for a long time. You ought to take it and just rejoice. Go at it. Because this is what you wanted.
Okay, Jim Jordan did the same thing, the congressperson from Ohio. He said this process is rigged and rushed. So what we have here are two cases that you're about to see. One is the Republicans saying this process is ridiculous. This is all about you guys going after Trump. And then the Democrats saying, yeah, it kind of is. So here's Jim Jordan.
You have a rigged and rushed process when you don't have the facts. You have a rigged and rushed process when you can't accept the will of the American people. And, of course, you have a rigged and rushed process when you're afraid that you can't beat the president at the ballot box.
Okay, and that last part is indeed the case. The Democrats are rushing the process because they can't. They think that Trump is likely to win. And given prevailing trends, and as we'll explain, given some of the late actions of President Trump in even the last week, Trump's odds of winning are going up fairly dramatically. We'll get to why that is. We'll get to the Republicans versus the Democrats going at each other's throats. You know, at least, are you not entertained? We don't have Lord Buckethead or Elmo here, but we do have the United States Congress. Theo, I give you the United States Congress. We'll get to that in just one second. First, let's talk about the earphones you are using to listen to the show. So, what kind of earphones are you using? Are you using those old ones with the wires attached to them, and then you put them in your pocket and they get all tangled up? Or maybe you're using the ones that kind of cut in and out regularly? Or maybe you just got really expensive earbuds, and now you've lost one of them, and you need a replacement that ain't going to cost you a fortune. Well, this is where Raycon comes in. Raycon has just released their best model yet, the E25s. They have 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are incredibly comfortable. They are perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet, no dangling wires, no stems. They also come with a wide variety of fits. They've got these little pieces that you can put on the earbuds so that it fits your ear perfectly. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That's BURAYCON.com/Ben for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Go check them out right now. They really are first rate. Buyraycon.com/Ben. Get 15% off your Raycon wireless earbud order. So as I say, almost a complete waste of time yesterday in the House Judiciary Committee as the Democrats vote on two articles of impeachment and the Republicans militate against that. Matt Gaetz, who, again, many of the more colorful members of Congress had their moments in the sunshine, yesterday. Matt Gaetz of Florida, he said this is obviously bloodlust for Trump, which it is.
Time and again, they let us down in their claims. But one thing we know for certain is that this was a sad inevitability. I had someone ask me recently, do you feel some sense of history, some sense of moment that you're about to vote on impeachment? And sadly, I knew this time was coming since the Democrats took control of the House of Representatives, because they didn't lay out a plan to appropriate for the budget, work with us on critical generational issues. They set out a plan for impeachment.
Well, that is exactly right. Now, the most colorful moment of this entire thing happened when Matt Gaetz went after Hunter Biden. He was pointing out that it should be kind of suspicious that Hunter Biden was obtaining these extraordinarily lucrative jobs while having a record that included busts on drugs and all sorts of other problems. Matt Gaetz says that. Hank Johnson of Georgia, I believe, the Democrat, he jumps in. He says, well, you have a DUI. And so it turned real Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I will note that, logically speaking, Matt Gaetz was elected to Congress. Okay, he was not selected because his last name was Gaetz. He didn't have a connection with the vice president of the United States. There is an actual difference between being elected in spite of a past DUI, Beto O'Rourke, and between being in a situation where you obtain a $50,000 a month job despite no history in the industry, despite no actual qualifications because your last name is Biden. Anyway, here's Matt Gaetz versus Hank Johnson. This made a lot of headlines yesterday.
And I don't want to make light of anybody's substance abuse issues. I know the president's working real hard to solve those throughout the country, but it's a little hard to believe that Burisma hired Hunter Biden to resolve their international disputes when he could not resolve his own dispute with Hertz rental car over leaving cocaine and a crack pipe in the car.
The pot calling the kettle black is not something that we should do. I don't know what members, if any, have had any problems with substance abuse, been busted in DUI. I don't know. But if I did, I wouldn't raise it against anyone on this committee. I don't think it's proper.
Okay, so is that really, you know, is that really a fair hit? The answer is, of course, it really is not. But that made a lot of headlines because people standing up to each other. Okay, so all of this is just for sham. Everybody understands this is just for show. The Democrats were going to ram this through no matter what. Nancy Pelosi was specifically asked yesterday, why, if you are so confident that Donald Trump committed an act of bribery here as the basis for impeachment, didn't you just include bribery as one of the impeachable charges? The obvious answer, they don't have the elements, meaning they don't have the evidence. Nancy Pelosi just skips right on by that, just slides right on by the question.
I myself am not a lawyer. Sometimes I act like one. Not as often as I act as a doctor. I practice medicine on the side without benefit of diploma, too. This is a decision that was recommended by our working together with our committee chairs, our attorneys, and the rest. So the articles are what they are. They're very powerful. They're very strong. And they are a continuation of a pattern of misbehavior on the part of the president.
Very powerful and very strong, and also have no actual criminal charges attached to them. So strong, so powerful.
What's the real reason Nancy Pelosi is doing this? Well, she let the cat out of the bag yesterday. This is clip 21. She explained, because we don't like Trump. Because we haven't liked him for 2.5 years. Here's Nancy Pelosi talking about this.
His criticisms of the process have been the speed at which the House Democrats are moving. If this is, but seriously though,
it's been going on for 22 months, okay? Well, 2.5 years, actually.
There has been some criticism, though.
Okay, so it's been going on 2.5 years? In what sense? How? How? Only if you believe that he's been impeachable since day one. So she just let the cat out of the bag. The entire thing is a sham. More on that in a moment. But first, let's talk about the fact that socialism is back in vogue, not just in the Democratic Party, on college campuses. Polls of young people in America show that young people are embracing socialism more and more. And leading the way are all of these Democratic contenders who say that they are actual advocates for democratic socialism. And even if they don't say they're socialists, they're pushing socialist policies. So, how do you know how socialist these Democrats are? Good news. FreedomWorks has you covered. So FreedomWorks is a great organization. They're an activist organization. They will give you action items to fight the socialist agenda of the Democrats. And right now, they will also provide you information on all the Democratic candidates. Text Ben, that's my name, Ben, to 52886, and you will receive exclusive access to FreedomWorks' socialist scorecard. Evaluate the candidates yourself. Decide just how socialist they are. FreedomWorks has spent a ton of time analyzing the policies of people running against President Trump. If you'd like to view it, please text Ben, that's my name, Ben, to 52886 to get that socialist scorecard. That is 52886. Text my name, Ben, to 52886. And again, you should join up with FreedomWorks anyway, because they've got all sorts of great stuff going on to help you defend the principles of the country. Text my name, Ben, to 52886. Now, why are the Democrats so focused in on impeachment? They keep just saying it out loud. And they're saying the quiet part out loud. Basically, they're focused on impeachment because they believe they're going to lose in 2020. And if they don't impeach, Trump will win. And if they do, and if Trump does win and is not impeached, they're going to claim that the election was stolen. Right? So they are setting up this basic choice between either we impeach him and then we win, or we don't impeach him and then he steals the election. Either way, the Democrats get to claim that the thing's illegitimate. So here's Eric Swalwell, who, when he's not threatening to nuke gun owners in the United States, is not farting on national TV. That was not him. It was Chris Matthews moving a mug, guys. It was not the flatulence of Duke Nukem. Here's Eric Swalwell.
We have pattern evidence that not only Donald Trump acts corruptly, but that when you show courage and act against him, you can stop him. It's actually the only way to extinguish his corrupt ways. If unchecked, my colleagues, Donald Trump does not get better. He gets worse. He gets more corrupt. And we can't wait till the next election to hold him accountable. Not when he is trying to rig the next election.
Okay, meanwhile, Hakeem Jeffries saying the same thing. He says, you know, Americans, this is so self-defeating. He says, Americans should decide elections outcomes. So we're impeaching. So why not wait till the election? The implication, obviously, is that if there is an election in 2020 that involves Donald Trump, it will not be legitimate. This is such a bad game Democrats are playing. They're outright saying we can't beat Trump at the ballot box, we fear, and thus we are just going to push forward with impeachment.
Who should decide the outcome of our elections? Is it the Russians, the Chinese, the Ukrainians, or the American people? It should be the American people. And that's why we're here at this moment. And so let's have a serious discussion about it. Stop attacking Americans who refuse to bend the knee to this president.
Okay, so we can't have a dictator. We have to have elections. Also, we're going to throw this guy out so we can't have an election referendum on him. Karen Bass also let the cat out of the bag, the congresswoman. She says, listen, you know what? If Trump wins again, we'll impeach him again. We'll just keep impeaching him. Is anyone under the wild misimpression at this point that the Democrats care at all about the basis upon which they are impeaching Trump? Is it clear to you that they're doing this because they fear him in 2020? Because they've been talking about impeaching him since day one. Pelosi just said they've been working on this thing for 2 years, for 22 months. Here's Karen Bass.
Yes, but I don't think it would be exactly the same. And here's why. Because even though we're impeaching him, now, there's still a number of court cases. There's a ton of information that could come forward. For example, we could get his bank records and find out that he's owned 100% by the Russians. So you are absolutely right in your scenario, but the only thing I would say slightly different is that it might not be the same articles of impeachment, because the odds are we'd have a ton more information.
Okay, so this thing is not going to end, right? It's never going to end. They're just going to keep trying to impeach Trump, according to Karen Bass. How seriously should we take all of this? I take it about as seriously as Democrat Congressman Cedric Richmond, who apparently was watching golf in the middle of the impeachment hearings yesterday. I take it with the same level of thrill as this congressperson.
Mr. Neguse votes no. Ms. McBath?
No.
Ms. McBath votes no. Mr. Stanton?
No.
Mr. Stanton votes no. Ms. Dean?
No.
Ms. Dean votes no. Ms. McCarsell-Powell?
No.
Ms. McCarsell-Powell votes no. Ms. Escobar?
No.
Ms. Escobar votes no.
As the vote is going on, as the vote is going on, he's watching golf. I'm with that congressperson for Speaker of the House, because that's how seriously we should take all of this. It's all nonsense. It's all stupidity. Coming up, President Trump, he's set himself up nicely for re-election. He's cleared up some issues, and he's pushing some agenda items that probably are not bad for him come 2020. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So President Trump is setting himself up pretty nicely for re-election here because he is getting some of the key issues off the table, and he's doing it now. So President Trump is going to sign today a new trade deal with the Chinese. He has settled on the outline of at least a first stage trade deal with the Chinese. Apparently, Trump has announced there will be a 50% reduction in the tariffs that he's imposed on September 1st, which covers about $110 billion of Chinese goods. The duties will go from 15% to 7.5%. There's already a 25% tariff on $250 billion in goods that he imposed in 2018. That's going to stay for now. But he says that this is the beginning of a larger settlement with China. The de-escalation with China, well, it may not actually be great policy in the long run because the United States needs to be confrontational with China in order to get them to do what we want, in order to get them to liberalize. They've been retrenching. They've been using the free markets to enrich themselves and then to use that against the free markets and then to use that against free countries. Okay, well, it may be better policy to treat China as an overt enemy at this point. In terms of Trump's reelection, if he does that, there's a better chance that the Chinese sink the economy by selling some of America's bonds on the open market a month before the election, tank the economy, and throw it to whoever the Democrat is. So Trump ironing out this thing, or at least de-escalating before the election, is quite smart politically. It's what he needs to do. According to the New York Times, the United States has settled on final terms of a partial trade deal with China. Several people familiar with the negotiations said a development that could ease tensions between the world's largest economies just days before the long-running trade war is set to escalate. Trump met with top economic advisors on Thursday afternoon at the White House, where the president agreed to significant reductions on tariffs he has placed on $360 billion of Chinese goods in return for China's commitment to purchase American farm products and make other concessions. As part of the agreement, the president is expected to announce he will delay or cancel tariffs on $160 billion of consumer products from China that were scheduled to go into effect on Sunday. Trump had foreshadowed this Thursday morning. He tweeted, "Getting very close to a big deal with China. They wanted, and so do we." Michael Pillsbury, China scholar at the Hudson Institute, he said this is a historic breakthrough, and he attributed this to Trump having a good relationship with President Xi Jinping, who is, in fact, a dictator. Trump was agreeing to roll back some of the tariffs he had imposed on China in exchange for Beijing bolstering its annual purchases of American products to about $50 billion next year. Also, China is supposed to enforce stronger protections for American intellectual property, open its markets to American financial institutions, and commit to greater transparency surrounding the management of its currency. So that's a good deal for President Trump, at least insofar as the politics. It's good for the economy as well. Free trade is always better for the economy. Another issue he's gotten off the table, which, again, on a policy level, I disagree with it, but on a political level, he needed to do before the election. Top congressional negotiators said on Thursday they had reached a deal in principle to approve $1.3 trillion in federal spending for 2020, probably averting a government shutdown next week. Now, the Republicans keep making these deals with Democrats to spend up the wazoo. They never take a strong position on spending. And that's terrible. It's also terrible the American people are not ready to take strong positions on spending and are much more sanguine about spending $1 trillion into the red every single year than they would be about making any cuts to the programs that would actually require the cuts in order to get us close to fiscal sanity. With that said, a government shutdown would not be good for President Trump leading up to the election, so that's another domino that he has knocked down in advance of the election. Also, Trump, following the Boris Johnson model, he is now embracing more big government policies. Like, Boris Johnson is not a small government guy. He's a big government guy. It's just that compared to labor, he's a small government guy. Trump is sort of the same in the United States. Trump yesterday came out in favor of paid family leave, a policy which really should be left to the private sector. But again, he's trying to aim directly at those suburban moms that he has lost because of his personality. So here's Trump pushing that yesterday.
But American families are coming first. With more women working today than ever before, we now have a historic opportunity to enact long overdue reforms. It's time to pass paid family leave and expand access to quality.
Now, that's not a policy I like, but it is a smart political policy because big spending is always smart political policy. Trump is actually considering skipping the debates, which is not a bad idea. Honestly, because while the Democrats would paint that as a form of cowardice, the fact is that the moderator is going to attack Trump. Now, in reality, Trump's not going to skip the debates. If there is a moderator who is anti-Trump, Trump's going to attack the moderator, and it's not going to go poorly for him. He did it to great success last time around. It is also true that Trump is quite pithy in debate. He doesn't have a lot to say. He's not going to give you a Pete Buttigieg smooth answer on any policy, but he's cutting and he's biting, and he says things that can be encapsulated in 30-second soundbites because the number of people who actually engage with all 9 hours of these debates is fairly low. Nonetheless, Trump is apparently discussing with his advisors the possibility of sitting out general election debates in 2020 because of his misgivings about the commission that oversees them. Trump has told his advisors he does not trust the Commission on Presidential Debates, the nonprofit that sponsors the debates, which is right. In the moderators that they've picked for the debates in the past have generally been awful. Less of a concern for Trump then who will emerge as the Democratic nominee is which media personality will be chosen as the debate moderator. Perfectly fair. He's not afraid of Biden. He's not afraid of Warren. He's not afraid of Sanders. He is afraid that the moderator is going to spend the entire debate attacking. And you saw this in 2012 when Candy Crowley openly lied about Mitt Romney on stage and Barack Obama in order.
This is Carl Lindebaugh, owners of KCNR Radio.
We just want to say happy holidays from everyone at the KCNR family. With the giving season upon us, we wanted to thank you for living local. The Reddit community means a lot to us.
So this season, as you're driving through town doing your holiday shopping, support the advertisers that support this station. Local shops are often overlooked, but that's where you'll find the most unique and touching gifts this Christmas.
Live local, listen local, love local. And from everyone here at KCNR,
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump's accusing House Democrats of trivializing impeachment. Here's White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
In his first public statement since the House Judiciary Committee approved two articles of impeachment against him, the president denounced the action of the Democrat-led panel.
It's a scam. It's something that shouldn't be allowed. And it's a very bad thing for our country. And you're trivializing impeachment.
He continued to deny any wrongdoing and, looking ahead to a Senate impeachment trial, said he would welcome either a short or long trial. Greg Clugston, The White House.
New Orleans investigators have discovered ransomware as they investigate a suspected cyber attack that led to a shutdown of city computers. The city has not received a ransom demand. However, it's unclear whether Friday's attack did any damage to the city system. In a surprise decision, the Food and Drug Administration has approved a second drug to treat a debilitating form of muscular dystrophy.
Sarepta Therapeutics' Vyondys 53 was rejected by the FDA for safety concerns just 4 months ago. It's for patients with a specific form of Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. It is likely to stoke questions about FDA standards for clearing largely unproven medications. In August, the FDA flagged Vyondys 53 for risks of infection and kidney injury. The company disputed the decision and resubmitted the application and data. Agency critics suggested the FDA may have bowed to outside pressure. Ed Donahue, Washington.
The Supreme Court says it will hear President Donald Trump's pleas to keep his tax, bank, and financial records private. The justices' decision Friday to hear cases involving demands for records from President Trump's banks and accounting firm means that the court is likely to issue final rulings in June amid President Trump's campaign for re-election. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Most people in today's economy are taking a roller coaster ride with their investments. With Vantage Point Software, you can remove that dynamic from your investment strategy once and for all. Vantage Point has spent the last three decades perfecting an artificial intelligence process that you can put to use today to take advantage of market fluctuations and make money no matter which way the market moves. Vantage Point Software analyzes massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds, so you get the information you need to make the right decisions to optimize your profits. Vantage Point is making its exclusive market forecast process available to you for free when you text MONEY to 411-411. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 411-411. We'll send you a link to your free market forecast so you take back control of your financial future. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
American Airlines doesn't see their Boeing MAX jets back in the air until April.
The Fort Worth-based carrier is removing the 737 MAX from its schedule until early April. It's a month later than it had been planning. It's the latest delay as Boeing struggles to fix software and computers on the plane after two fatal crashes. American says it pushed back the planned return of the MAX after conversations with the FAA, Transportation Department, and Boeing. The airline says it could operate flights with only employees and invited guests on board before April 7th if the FAA certifies the aircraft. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
U.S. authorities downgraded Venezuela's aviation rating Friday, saying that the crisis-torn nation isn't able to meet basic international standards for airline safety. The Federal Aviation Administration said it recently performed an extensive review of Venezuela's civil aviation authority, leading to the status change. News and analysis at townhall.com. Christmas tree supplies are tight again this year.
An oversupply of trees a decade ago and the Great Recession delivered a double blow. The Department of Agriculture says that led to a 3% drop in the number of Christmas tree farms around the country from 2012 to 2017. And the National Christmas Tree Association says the average cost of a real tree rose $3 last year to $78. But industry officials say not to worry. Everyone who wants a tree should be able to find one, even at the last minute. It just might take a little more searching, especially if you want a specific type. I'm Ben Thomas.
Facebook stock dropped almost 3% in regular trading after news reports suggested that the FTC may take antitrust action to prevent Facebook from integrating its disparate messaging apps. The report said that the Federal Trade Commission may seek a court injunction that would block Facebook's interoperability plans for Facebook Messenger. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, big news of the day is obviously the destruction of the Labour Party in this latest British election. Boris Johnson now has an 80-seat majority in Parliament. It is a massive victory for the Conservatives. It is a massive defeat for the Labour Party. Joining us on the line to discuss is Daniel Hannan. He was a member of European Parliament. After 17 years as a member of European Parliament campaigning for British withdrawal from the EU, he succeeded in abolishing his own job in the Brexit referendum on June 23rd, 2016. He's the author of 9 books, including the New York Times bestseller Inventing Freedom, How the English-Speaking Peoples Made the Modern World. His latest book is What Next? How to Get the Best from Brexit. Daniel, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thank you very much, Ben. Always a pleasure.
So, I imagine that you must be in a pretty good mood after last night's election.
Everything tastes better today. All the colors are brighter. Everything has more intensity. Yeah, I mean, I'm really proud. My fellow countrymen displayed a kind of cussed, ornery, stubborn, but fundamentally quite polite refusal to be pushed around and told what to do by the intellectual elites. And they did the right thing. And I'm very glad that today, as yesterday, Britain remains one of the few countries in Europe that has never had a Marxist party in government and has never had an anti-Semitic party in government.
So how much of this election do you think was about the shortcomings of the Labour Party and how much of it was about Brexit itself? It's hard to separate out the strands, obviously, because they're both such big issues. But Jeremy Corbyn is basically an open communist who hobnobs with actual terrorists. The chief rabbi of Britain had come out and said the Labour Party is now an anti-Semitic party. 85% of British Jews said they weren't going to vote for the Labour Party because of Jeremy Corbyn. I talked to people, and on the communist side, I talked to people in the last 48 hours who had suggested if Corbyn had become the prime minister, they would have taken their companies with hundreds of employees and immediately sought to move those companies outside of Great Britain. How much of this was a referendum on Corbyn and how much of this was a referendum on Brexit?
That's a very good question. Corbyn, of course, was running on a similar package last time, but promised to accept the Brexit result and did a little bit better. So obviously Brexit was a factor, a big factor. And if you look at where the votes have changed, where did we lose, where did we win, British Conservatives are now a much more blue-collar party in our support base than we were. We are much more the party for the people who drive things, dig things, build things than we were, than we have been actually at any point in the last couple of hundred years. But it is also, I think, an important thing to say that, and I'm very proud of this, that the swirling anti-Semitic problem within the Labour Party, not really from Corbyn personally, I'm not going to say that. He was a sort of an old, blind, well-intentioned boob. But I don't think he is personally anti-Semitic, but he couldn't believe that there was such a thing as left-wing anti-Semitism, and he allowed it to swirl around until, as you just said, the chief rabbi was driven to make this intervention, an intervention made all the more powerful by the fact that he was so visibly uncomfortable at having to say it, at having to intervene in politics, which is not what chief rabbis do in Britain usually. And I think that did give pause to a lot of people, Jewish and Gentile people. We're not that kind of country. We're not that kind of people. We're very proud of not having been that way when others around us had rather more troubled histories. And I think that served to depress the Labour vote very substantially.
So speaking of the Brexit side of this, now Boris Johnson has basically until January 31st to get Brexit done. Obviously, the Conservative Party had been having a lot of trouble doing this. That's why Theresa May stepped down. That's why a new election was called. They didn't have enough constituents in Parliament to actually get Brexit done along the lines anybody wanted. So what does the new Brexit look like? Is it a harsher Brexit? Is it a softer Brexit? What does it look like?
Well, it's Brexit is the real point. I mean, you just put your finger on it. The problem for the last 3 years has not been some insurmountable negotiating difficulty with Brussels. The problem has been that Parliament was not prepared to let us leave, that despite all of the promises they've made, the individual MPs were determined to frustrate any practical plan to get Brexit through. And that's why this election happened. That's a problem that has now been removed. The British people very wisely did the right thing, removed the gridlock. So Brexit will now take place, and it's only now, therefore, that the EU is kind of engaged at all, because up until a week ago, they thought that if they hung tough, we might drop the whole idea and stay. And so only now does the conversation finally move on to what kind of relationship will we have as neighbours rather than as members. What kind of relationship are we going to have in terms of trade, obviously, but also policing, intelligence sharing, and all the rest of it.
We're speaking with Daniel Hannan, a member of European Parliament. So for those in the United States who aren't particularly familiar with Brexit, and we sort of have all heard the word over here because President Trump has talked about it, but most people don't actually follow what's going on super closely. How much of Britain's objection to be parting to being part of the EU is about regulation? How much of it is about trade? And how much of it is about immigration? The widespread perception, at least on the American right, is that a lot of this is about immigration, about the fact that there are countries like Germany that have taken in millions of refugees and that there is free travel within the EU. How does the support for Brexit break down among these issues?
All of those things were factors, but by far the biggest factor was sovereignty. And this was clear in all the polls, all of the tests of opinion we did. People wanted decisions about Britain to be made by their own elected representatives. They wanted, fundamentally, what Brexit is, it's the reassertion of the primacy of UK over EU law on our own territory. And you know, if you think about it in those terms, it's the most moderate thing in the world, right? It's something that Americans or Canadians or Norwegians or New Zealanders or Singaporeans would absolutely take for granted, that they get to hire and fire the people who make their laws, that they're not subject to some overseas jurisdiction. Having got that, having become a sovereign country again in the exact sense, we will have the closest and friendliest relations with our neighbors compatible with being an independent country, including on having provisions that allow people to come and take up jobs on good terms. But the difference is that we will now be in charge, and we can decide whom to deport and whom to kick out if they don't behave.
And what was so funny about watching Brexit negotiations from afar is the EU claiming that they weren't attempting to tyrannize the UK, and then when the UK said, okay, well, we would like to leave now, the EU immediately started threatening trade sanctions against the UK, which, like,
yeah.
So I'm confused. Are you actually friends with the UK or enemies?
That I think has, yeah, I mean, that you're absolutely right, and that really hardened attitudes. It's striking that yesterday a lot of people who had voted Remain nonetheless were voting Conservative to get Brexit done because they were Democrats, and they, even though they regretted the original referendum outcome, they regretted even more the refusal of Parliament to implement it. And, you know, in a way, you kind of can't blame the EU when you have a British Parliament kind of negotiating against the British government for just sitting back and refusing to engage. I mean, you know, the real problem was the MPs who were elected in 2017. And I've got this private theory, Ben, that basically the people almost always get it right, at least in Britain. It's very hard to think of an election which has been won by a party that deserved to lose. And I thought that the last one came pretty close to destroying my theory. The idea that 2 in 5 people voted for Corbyn in 2017 really bothered me. But actually, I think it was just a kind of comment on the uselessness of Theresa May. And given a decent Conservative leader, which they've now got, you know, it's really important to stress the magnitude of how much has now changed. This is our best result since the height of Margaret Thatcher's power. This is Labour's worst result since the 1930s. And we've taken seats across the north of England and the Midlands, not just that we haven't held since the war or something, but seats that we have never held since democracy. And, you know, Britain looks a very, very different country politically. And actually, I think this is now the beginning of a process of reconciliation, because for 3 years people have been stuck in this argument about Brexit, and I've realized that the only way to solve that argument is to do Brexit, to deliver it, but to deliver it in an internationalist and liberal spirit that reassures Remainers that their worst fears are misplaced.
So one more question for you, Daniel. A lot of folks in the United States look at Brexit and look at British elections, and they see a precursor to American elections. Obviously, Brexit happens in 2016. President Trump goes on a few months later to win the presidency. A lot of folks on the right in the United States cheering Brexit, not just for principled reasons, but also because they believe that this is sort of a harbinger of what's to come in the United States. What sort of lessons should American voters draw from Brexit and from this particular election?
That people are wiser than their leaders. The coalition against Brexit in some ways resembled the coalition against Trump. I don't want to overdo the parallel, but in both cases, intellectual and media and academic elites closed ranks and basically told the rest of us not to be such idiots. And, you know, it's not just that that's a bad tactic, right? That telling people that they're idiots is rarely a good way of convincing them. It's that actually it was just false. The predictions of ruin that would follow were all shown to be utter rubbish, both in the case of the United States and in the case of the United Kingdom. The economy has grown considerably since the thing we were all told not to do. And by the way, that's going to accelerate now, because the one thing we can now see that was holding people back, holding investors back, was not Brexit, but fear of Corbyn. You look at the way in which the currency has jumped on the exchange rate. I think there's going to be a flood of investment into the UK that had been dammed up because of concern about a socialist government. This is now a really, really good time to be buying in the UK.
Well, Daniel Hannan, member of European Parliament, check out his new book, What Next? How to Get the Best from Brexit. Daniel, really appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure, Ben.
Well, coming up, we're going to be talking with the execrable Michael Moles about Christmas-related topics as well as impeachment. I know. I'm not that happy about it, but we'll be talking with Knowles coming up. Plus, the Democrats are very, very nervous, according to the New York Times. Seriously, we'll get to that in 1 second. First, let us talk about the fact that every so often you see online some story about some actress who has had her nude photos blown up across the internet because somebody hacked her phone. And you think to yourself two things. One, don't take nude photos with your phone. But second, like, if you are going to have any information on your phone you don't want others to have, maybe you should be protecting your phone. Because the fact is, hackers are looking for that data from everybody. Your credit card data. They're looking for your personal data. There are many ways that big tech tries to monetize your data. So why not crack down on your own data? Why not make sure that your data are safe? This is why you should be using ExpressVPN. You should use ExpressVPN because every time you go on the internet, you're basically allowing the possibility of exposing your data to others. This is why it was kind of bad when Hillary Clinton set up a private homebrew server. She probably wasn't using ExpressVPN, so the possibility of somebody hacking was fairly high. So the question is, why haven't you gotten ExpressVPN yet? Visit my special link right now at expressvpn.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Protect your internet today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. Go to expressvpn.com/Ben to get started again. That's expressvpn.com/Ben to get started. Check them out, expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be joined by the awful, terrible, execrable Michael Moles, one of my fellow hosts over at Daily Wire. We'll be discussing Christmas and movies and impeachment and everything related. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy, it's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
We try to make healthy choices, but do you ever choose the air you breathe? Now you can, with a complete indoor air quality package from Wave Home Solutions. Included is the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit with computerized sensor control and app to reduce moisture, mold, odors, and insect infestation from your basement or crawl space. It also expels harmful gases such as radon, carbon monoxide, and other pollutants. Addressing the worst air in your home will transform the entire house. Add the Wave 6-stage hospital-grade air purifier, the only one with HEPA filtration, 2 UV lamps, and other processes for a 99% kill rate of a broad range of pollutants and allergens. The Wave Indoor Air Quality Package will make your home a drier, cleaner, and healthier one all year round. It's time you choose the air you breathe. Choose Wave Home Solutions. Call 888-979-WAVE. That's 888-979-WAVE. Or visit dryhousenow.com. Dryhousenow.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So you've heard him sit in for me, guest host before, and I always regret having done so. But joining us on the line is Michael Knowles, host of the Michael Knowles Show over at DailyWire.com. One of the reasons you should subscribe, get a 25% off subscription when you go to DailyWire.com/gift. Well, Michael, how does it feel to be back on this show?
It feels great, Ben. I actually have to say I'm shocked that you knew that I've been filling in for you. Sometimes I usually just sneak into the studio whenever I find out you're not there. So it's good to be here with you as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Christmas. Obviously, it's the Christmas season coming up, and you've been on War on Christmas alert. You've been on the front lines here. We want you on that wall. We need you on that wall. So what are the latest examples of some of the idiot left's decisions to rewrite the Christmas holiday?
I like to consider myself a 4-star general in the War on Christmas. I'm the Patton of the War on Christmas. The biggest story that just came out was from a Methodist church in America, and the Methodist church put out a creche, you know, the nativity scene. But this was not like a normal creche because Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were all in cages. Do you get it, Ben? Do you get it? Because they were refugees, and if you don't support an open border with Mexico, then you are anti-Christian and you're an evil, no good, terrible person. Now, the problem with this, of course, is it has absolutely nothing to do with historical reality. So Christ is born in a manger in Bethlehem as his parents are on this journey, right? They're leaving their hometown. But it wasn't a journey away from civil authority. It wasn't a journey in contravention of the law. They were actually going to register with the government in accordance with the law. Then they bring up another example. They say, well, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, they fled Herod and they fled into Egypt. You see, just like people are fleeing El Salvador into America, and therefore if you support immigration laws, you're no good, terrible person. What they fail to realize is that Egypt was part of the Roman Empire. So it would be sort of like leaving California and going to Texas, which many people are doing anyway. This was true 30 years before the birth of Christ. As always, you know, it's this historical and religious illiteracy that leads to these kinds of things. But it also just makes me sort of sad, because Christmas season is supposed to be a time when we look inward on ourselves, on our own nature. We look outward toward our salvation. We contemplate deep religious truths. And the left wants to get rid of all of that, ignore all of it completely, to make some shallow, stupid point about an immigration policy. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Okay, Michael, let's move over to impeachment, which, of course, is another shallow, stupid thing, given the way that it's being carried out. So just today, the House Democrats and the Judiciary Committee voted to advance two articles of impeachment against President Trump. They obviously don't have the grounds. Nancy Pelosi was specifically asked why bribery was not included in the impeachment charges, and she said, no, these are very strong charges, completely failing to answer the question. So what do you make of the hubbub over impeachment?
I think it's evidence that Christmas came early this year. It's a Christmas miracle when you look at the impeachment hearings. And actually, when you look at the Horowitz IG testimony that we saw yesterday, or the day before as well. I mean, this is all very good news for President Trump. It just seems to have completely backfired. You don't need to take my word for it. Obviously, I like the president, and I hope he's reelected. But you can just look at these polls in the swing states. From the beginning impeachment to the end, Trump has really gained a whole lot of ground here. The evidence is that if the Democrats had anything, they would have been charging him with bribery or extortion or some really tangible crime. They don't have it. The evidence is just not there. So you get abuse of power as a charge. You get obstruction of Congress as a charge, which last time I checked is the entire purpose of the executive branch, is to obstruct Congress. And it doesn't look very good for them. And I think what Democrats should be praying for right now is that this doesn't go to trial in the Senate, because I think President Trump wants to drag this out. That's what some of the recent reports have said. And if they do, it is going to go from bad to worse for Democrats.
Well, yeah, I think that actually it might be in the interest of President Trump not to drag it out. He's been saying that he and Mitch McConnell are coordinating on this sort of thing. The Democrats, of course, are going nuts. How can McConnell coordinate with the White House on this sort of, well, he thinks the charges are illegitimate. I mean, McConnell does. And he's made that obvious at this point. It's not as though anybody is hiding the ball right here. It's an overtly partisan effort. Now, you mentioned the IG report. It was astonishing to watch the media this week try to turn the IG report into some justification of the FBI's activity. James Comey walking out and declaring himself exonerated after a report that rips into his own conduct in the middle of the FISA warrant into Carter Page, that rips into the FBI in a variety of ways. And you got Andrew McCabe and James Comey talking about how they're vindicated by this whole thing. I don't know what world we're living in, or more importantly, what world they're living in.
Well, what they're banking on is that nobody is going to read the whole IG report, and fair enough, they're not going to. You'd think at least people, though, could read the executive summary. They were presenting this as though Horowitz was completely vindicating guys like Comey and proving Trump to be some terrible liar. The trouble is that the Republicans hold the Senate right now, and so they bring Horowitz before them, and you get Lindsey Grahambo, Lindsey Graham 2.0, and you get Ted Cruz out there asking exactly the right questions, and Horowitz makes it clear that the report looks really, really bad for the leadership of the FBI during the Obama administration, and we're only going to hear more about that when the Durham investigation comes out. You had Horowitz basically justifying the Durham investigation during that testimony. It just seems that at every turn, right when the Democrats think that they've finally got this guy, it flops and it leaves them even more vulnerable than they were before.
So looking forward to 2020, the Democrats are already treating this impeachment inquiry as basically an advance argument for why, if they lose in 2020, it's illegitimate. Every single major Democrat has said that the reason to impeach Trump is because they're afraid of what he's going to do, not because of what he's done, but they're afraid of what he's going to do to pervert the election of 2020. I'm old enough to remember when the Democrats were claiming that Donald Trump was not going to accept the results of elections, that this was very dangerous. And now you've got Hillary wandering the hills, explaining that she's the actual president, Stacey Abrams wandering around the country at the behest of other Democrats, suggesting that she's the actual governor of Georgia, and Democrats preemptively declaring victory in the 2020 elections no matter what happens, because Trump is apparently in league with the Russians or something.
This is what always happens, actually. You just saw this in the UK, where they said that Boris Johnson and the Conservatives were going to maybe barely squeak out an election-hung parliament. And guess what? It turns out the media were wrong, and Boris Johnson gets a clear victory. I truly wonder if this is going to be a preview of 2020 in America. I think the reason that they want to impeach Trump now is not even so much that they're afraid of what President Trump will do if he's reelected. I think they're afraid of what the American people will do. Representative Al Green said this in 2017. He said, "I fear that if we do not impeach this president, he will be reelected." And they're trying to pull Hillary Clinton out of the Chappaqua woods, as you say. The media are trying to resuscitate her political career. It just shows the weakness that the field has going in. They really don't have much on the presidential front. They appear not to have very much on the impeachment front. President Trump must be feeling very good going into this Christmas season.
Well, Michael Knowles, host of The Michael Knowles Show. If you enjoy his execrable content, check him out over at DailyWire.com. And when you go over to DailyWire.com/gift today, you can actually get a 25% off subscription over at Daily Wire. It makes for a great Christmas gift, despite Knowles' show. Now, Michael, really appreciate your time.
Good to see you, Ben.
All right, coming up, we're going to be jumping into the mailbag. One of the things you get as a subscriber, by the way, is the ability to send us your questions in the mailbag. I will be answering those coming up quite shortly. Plus, we will be getting to a perfectly insane article in the Washington Post suggesting that Jews getting shot in New Jersey, you know whose fault that is? The Jews who moved into New Jersey. Now, really, that is what the Washington Post reporting is suggesting at this point. It's society's fault at large and or the Jews.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Riverfront Playhouse presents A Christmas Carol by Christopher Sharrow, adapted from Charles Dickens and directed by Jennifer Levins, November 23rd through December 21st. With an intimate cast and ethereal presentation, A Christmas Carol is a ghost story of redemption and the lesson that giving isn't just a seasonal affair. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the store running or at the door. A Christmas Carol, November 23rd through December 21st at the Riverfront Playhouse, sponsored by Tri-Counties Bank.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR. Now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade,
highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to support community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, it's mailbagging time because it is a Friday, so let's jump right in. Aaron says, I almost fully agree with your position on pornography, but I do wonder what you think would be the best method for the federal government to protect minors from internet pornography. Localities are obviously unable to do this due to the nature of the internet. This obviously is a commentary on the show yesterday where I talked about outlawing pornography. This big debate has broken out on the right. What should the role of the government be? I've said that localities have a lot more ability to regulate pornography, in my viewpoint on how government works, than the federal government does. But obviously when it comes to the internet, this is right. You can't regulate the internet at sort of the local level. It is a national level thing. Well, the federal government has done this on child pornography. The government has cracked down on child pornography, made it a federally prosecutable offense. But beyond that, when it comes to non-child pornography, like just regular pornography and the distribution thereof, you could make it a federal offense to distribute pornography to people who are under the age of 18 via the use of the internet, meaning that you'd actually have to have a click-through button. You'd have to have a click-through button in which people vouch that they are over the age of 18. Well, maybe you have to have them type in a driver's license number. Maybe you have to have them type in a credit card number. Maybe you have to have some method of verifying their age in order for them to access. And you have these sorts of restrictions on a lot of internet activity. If you wanted to buy a product online that only adults can buy, there has to be some sort of verification of your age in order for you to go forward with that. There are even age verification standards with regard to some things like Google Images, I believe. So you could make a law along those lines. I don't think that that would be out of bounds. Meanwhile, Tyler asks, what is your opinion on the Second Amendment sanctuary counties in Virginia in response to the recent election of Democrats to the state legislatures? Many sheriffs have said they will not enforce any gun confiscation laws as well, which has led to Democrats threatening punishment and the National Guard. What do you think is the right course of action for localities who wish to protect their Second Amendment rights from tyrannical government? Love the show. Keep up the good work. Well, I think that these sanctuary counties have exactly the right idea. Now, they can't actively stop the state law enforcement from going in and policing this sort of stuff, but they can neglect to do the job. In fact, the Supreme Court has basically held that attorney generals of states who do not defend the laws in their own state can lead to the non-defense of the law and thus the forfeit of the case. So, for example, in California, Proposition 8 was a proposition passed by the people of California to protect traditional marriage. Kamala Harris was the awful attorney general at the time. Now she's the awful senator and was an awful presidential candidate, but she was AG at the time. And people sued Prop 8, to remove Prop 8. And she refused to defend Prop 8 in court, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals found that because Kamala Harris would not defend Prop 8 in court, there was no one to defend Prop 8, and therefore Prop 8 was ruled out of bounds simply because one lady decided she would not defend the law. Now, if that's the way the courts are going to rule, it seems perfectly acceptable to me to have local law enforcement engage in precisely the same sort of unwillingness to violate their constitutional oaths that Democrats use routinely in order to break the law with regard to immigration law. If you can have sanctuary cities with regard to immigration, it seems to me perfectly reasonable to have sanctuary cities with regard to gun ownership. Tim says, do you think the Democrats will learn from the UK election landslide where a deeply unlikable hard-left socialist candidate lost with historic margins? Won't they look at this, see the synergies, and change course? Well, there are a few distinctions. One is that the economic distinctions between right and left in the UK are far less than the economic distinctions between left and right in the United States. So in the UK, both parties believe in the National Health Service. Both parties believe in a vast social welfare state. The parties are not particularly far apart, even on social policy. It's really on immigration and Brexit and maybe taxation and regulation that there are some separations. In the United States, there are bigger differences between the parties, number one. Number two, in the United States, the American Jewish community with regard to the anti-Semitism. So anti-Semitism played a big role in Corbyn going down hard in this election in the UK. And that is because the Jews in the UK were willing to stand up and say, this is an anti-Semitic party. They are openly working with anti-Semites. Jews in the United States, because many of them are Democrats before they are Jewish in any conceivable way, are willing to overlook or cheer on the Democratic Party that embraces Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Linda Sarsour, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, all of whom have hobnobbed with anti-Semites. The Jews in the UK were not willing to do that, and that led to a pretty radical amount of media coverage on Jeremy Corbyn's Jew hatred. Do I think the Democrats here are going to radically change? I do think that they are trying to change course a little bit. I mean, I think that this is why Joe Biden is the durable frontrunner and Pete Buttigieg has been gaining ground. Dylan says, I absolutely love the show and the insight. I'm a smoker. Please don't tell Dr. Shapiro. But I hope to quit before I have kids. Yeah, you should quit now because you never know which cigarette's going to cause the cancerous cells. However, I would like to know your opinion on sin taxes or vice taxes. I think it's ridiculous that the government targets a specific group to tax at a substantially higher rate than other groups, e.g. smokers and drinkers. Why should my or others' vice be used to pave roads and contribute to other public work projects at a higher rate? Additionally, while the left defends such taxes for public health reasons, most smokers tend to fall into lower socioeconomic strata. Is this not a direct tax on the poor? Thanks so much. I look forward to your response. Yes, I am very much opposed to sin taxes. I think the idea that the government is going to heavily tax things that it does not approve of, as opposed to just ban them, is a way for government to make money off your vice. And you've seen this in New York City, where people in the New York City government will estimate the amount of tax revenue to be made off of smokers. In other words, if you stop smoking, you hurt the government. And so the government actually has an interest in you continuing to smoke so that you can continue to pay the tax to the government. If the government wants to take the position that a thing is bad, then the government should make the thing less plentiful. Okay, and the way the government makes the thing less plentiful, generally, is when the government is not aligned with the interest of making it more widespread. Like, it would actually be good for the city of New York for more people to smoke so that they can fulfill their budget holes. Jamie says, I'm a conservative civics and economics public school teacher in Massachusetts. I've always held to a strict standard of showing no political bias in the classroom. Many of my colleagues have not shown the same restraint. Between my colleagues and current events making it very hard to try and present what's going on strictly down the middle, should I start bending my teaching to the right? Should I balance the force against my colleagues? Should I hold to my principle of unbiased teaching? Thanks for your advice, Jamie, stuck in Massachusetts. Well, I think that you should hold to your principle of non-bias in teaching, and I think that you should inform the other students that their other teachers are not actually engaged in that principle. So presenting both sides and pointing out your other teachers may not be engaged in the same exercise is a good thing. In other words, striving for non-bias is useful. It is also useful to contrast that to other teachers who are not doing that. Right, so I think that balancing it out with, you know, an overtly conservative perspective, it's an angle. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing if you can get away with it. But I think that striving to present both sides of the issue, I mean, frankly, here's what I would do. I'd strive to present both sides of the issue, and then I think it's okay to tell the students, and here's where I personally come down on this issue. You're free to disagree. I think that that's okay. John says, in light of the FISA court abuses uncovered by Michael Horowitz, should the FISA court be disbanded? This case has been made by a lot of civil libertarians for a long time, that the foreign intelligence surveillance courts should be disbanded. The problem is that there is not a really good substitute for the FISA courts. So the FISA courts were designed to basically allow for secret warrants to be taken out against foreign sources, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. So the reason for that is because your rights in a FISA court are not quite the same as your rights in a court. If there were to be a warrant against you in a public court, you'd be able to challenge the warrant, suggest that it was insufficient, present cause, right? In a FISA court, you can't do any of those things, specifically because when you are involved in counterintelligence activity, which is what the FBI and the CIA are using FISA courts for, when you're engaged in that, you can't actually warn the people that you are attempting to surveil. It defeats the purpose of the surveillance. The answer is you have to make the standards stricter on the granting of these FISA warrants. Because right now, it looks like everything's being rubber stamped. And that's the obvious truth. How the government polices itself, honestly, I don't have any great ideas here, and I wish that I did, because it is a problem. Mitzi says, you think Trump and the Republicans are ever going to try to repeal Obamacare and put in place something better? Ever since they failed at this, Trump seems to have dropped the issue. However, it's still a very big problem for many Americans. There are a lot of Trump flags flying in my hometown of Gardnerville, Nevada, but people are hurting here on this issue, even to the point of having to move because they can't afford health insurance here. Side note, the Californian refugees we are taking in don't seem to mind. Well, I do think it's going to be difficult for Republicans to try to repeal Obamacare in its entirety because the entire discussion has been perverted by the language used. So everybody now talks about on right and left that we have to have universal coverage. We have to cover cover everyone, including people who have pre-existing conditions with insurance. Well, that's not insurance anymore. Right? Republicans would be better off saying we need a free market system. And then for people who have pre-existing conditions and lose their job, then we will have some sort of government-sponsored care. It's sort of a catch-all provision for people with the pre-existing conditions who drop out of the system and will pay the very minimum, but we are going to incentivize people to continue to do private insurance. We're going to move toward a private insurance system that is not employment-dependent, where you are paying for your own private insurance, and thus you are responsible for your own private insurance. You know, there's basic emergency services that are available to you. That's sort of what they have in Singapore. That's sort of the idea in Singapore. But the very basic notion that both Republicans and Democrats have agreed to, because it's politically palatable, is that health insurance should be forced to cover people with pre-existing conditions. I don't know how you do that without falling into the trap of heavy government regulation of the industry. We'll get to more of your questions in just one moment. First, let's talk about the evils of socialism. So even the Brits recognize that socialism is an unworkable system. Even the so-called socialist systems in the social democratic countries of Northern Europe recognize that capitalism is inherently a good thing. Unfortunately, the Democratic Party in the United States seems to be forgetting this, and they're constantly ripping on capitalism as a system of exploitation and evil. You see this from AOC. So where do all the Democratic presidential candidates stand on all this stuff? Because some of them pose as moderates, like Pete Buttigieg. Others of them pose as radicals, like Bernie Sanders. So where is everybody on all of this? FreedomWorks is doing the hard work of getting you that information. FreedomWorks has put together a socialist scorecard evaluating where presidential candidates stand on the issues of the day. If you'd like to check it out, all you have to do is text Ben, my name Ben, to 52886. You'll receive exclusive access to FreedomWorks' socialist scorecard. You can evaluate the candidates yourself and decide if they are indeed socialist. FreedomWorks has spent a lot of time analyzing this data, and it's great to be a member of FreedomWorks anyway because they'll send you action items, more information, so you can always be on top of the fight. If you'd like to view their socialist scorecard, please text Ben, my name Ben, to 52886 again. Text my name Ben to 52886 and join the fight. Jeremy says, I'm a 20-year-old college student from California. I know one of the most popular arguments socialist-leaning liberals in the U.S. is to point to successful Scandinavian countries such as Denmark, Norway, etc., and say these are examples of successful socialism. I've heard and agree with your response to this, that these countries are not at all socialist and are simply capitalist countries with social safety nets. However, while that argument clearly dismantles any case for socialism, what is the argument for our system versus theirs? Why is our system better than a capitalist system with a social safety net as seen in Scandinavia? Well, the answer is that whenever you have a system in which collective knowledge is thrown out the window in favor of specific rule by elites, you are losing efficiencies. And this is true whether you are talking about healthcare or whether you are talking about economics. Whenever you have the Hayekian fallacy, you know, Friedrich Hayek suggested that the Hayekian fallacy is basically the idea that a few wise people at the top of any system will know better than the rest of the population. Diffuse knowledge, however, in reality is always better than specific knowledge by one individual or a small cadre of individuals. What you've seen in the social safety net countries of Northern Europe is that there is a broader distribution of resources, but a lot less entrepreneurial activity in particularly those areas. And this has had ramifications for healthcare. Like, people like to talk about the healthcare system in the United States and its problems. Yeah, we got problems because it's a mixed system. But if you want to talk about where all the entrepreneurial activity is happening, where all the new drugs are being developed, all the new patents, all the new treatments, that's all happening right here in the United States. So can you quash certain capitalistic areas of the economy in favor of broader distribution? You can, but it's a trade-off. It's a trade-off. And what you've seen is that when it goes too far, when the social safety net becomes too burdensome, the tax rates have to rise dramatically, and that decreases economic growth rates. It is also true that where you apply these rules makes an awful lot of difference. Diverse populations, the United States is a much more diverse population than Norway, for example. Norway is homogenous, and that means there's a lot of social fabric to back a lot of these government programs. They also happen to have an enormous sovereign oil wealth fund. You know, that has been back in their play for a long time. But even in Norway, even in Sweden, even in Denmark, they've had to increasingly elect governments that are cutting back on immigration because they can't pay for everybody, that are cutting back on some of these social safety net programs, that are deregulating. The third way Swedish socialism tried in the 1970s completely crippled their economy. There's an author named Nina Sanandaji, who's written extensively about all this Sanandaji, about third way socialism and why it's been a failure in a lot of these countries. We'll get to more of your questions in one moment. First, let me remind you that it is holiday season, and that means you get amazing deals over at DailyWire.com. Now, you can actually watch all 3 hours of this radio show. You know all of this. You know that you can get all of our other shows when you subscribe. But right now, we have a perfect gift for you to give this holiday season, the gift of a Daily Wire membership. From now until January 1st, all Insider Plus gift memberships will be 25% off. That means your loved ones will get all the fantastic perks, plus the majestic, incredible Leftist Tears tumbler, and you will get the savings. You can listen to all 3 hours of the show, get my Sunday special on Saturdays. You'll get live and recorded episodes of The Andrew Klavan Show, The Michael Knowles Show, The Matt Walsh Show, and other Daily Wire productions like Daily Wire Backstage. As an all-access member, you can ask me these questions in the mailbag. You can do the Ask Me Anything-style discussion feature where you can ask me questions live, and I will answer them for you. Again, that's 25% off all Insider Plus gift memberships this holiday season. Give them a gift they will thank you for all year long, or give yourself a gift this holiday season. Head on over to dailywire.com/gift. and get your 25% off. Again, that's dailywire.com/gift to get that 25% off. Do not wait, because the deal will expire as of January 1. Go check us out right now over at dailywire.com/gift and get your 25% off. Alrighty, coming up, the Washington Post publishes an astonishingly awful piece about the shooting in New Jersey, the anti-Semitic shooting in New Jersey. They blame gentrification, too many Jews moved in. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com. If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
There is an insane piece at the Washington Post today, a fully crazy piece at the Washington Post today. The way that the Washington Post and the New York Times cover anti-Semitism demonstrates how they do not take anti-Semitism seriously in an incredible, incredible, obvious way. So the New York Times has a piece today in which they quote a bunch of Reform rabbis who don't know a lot about Judaism or care much about Israel, talking about how President Trump signing an executive order to defend Jews on campus is very, very bad. Shocker there. That's what the New York Times does. The Washington Post has an even more incredible piece. It's a reported piece by Wesley Lowery, Kevin Armstrong, and Deanna Paul. And it's titled, Jersey City Grapples with Ramifications of Shooting at Kosher Market. The entire piece is about the roiling tensions inside Jersey City that led to the shooting of a bunch of Jews at a kosher supermarket. And what could have been much worse, as I mentioned earlier on the program, there's tape that now shows that these shooters were attempting to break in next door, and there were 50 school children upstairs. So this thing could have been a Sandy Hook-style massacre by black Hebrew Israelites against Jews. Well, the Washington Post prints a piece that they would never print about anything else. If there were after Charleston, after the South Carolina massacre in a black church by a white supremacist, would there ever have been a piece about the roiling racial tensions that led to so much white anger? After the El Paso shooting, would there have been a piece about how increased Hispanic immigration had led the white population to increase its anger and led to additional conflict? Of course not, because everybody understood that white supremacist shootings are evil and unrepresentative of the surrounding population, but and certainly are not justified by anything that is happening in the world. But this piece from the Washington Post basically attempts to lend justification to the shooting. It's pretty astonishing. Here's what it says. The JC Kosher supermarket sits on a block that appears the portrait of an American cultural melting pot. Across the street is a Catholic parish. A few storefronts away in one direction is an African hair braiding salon, in the other a mosque. The entire block rests a few miles from Ellis Island, settled in the shadow of the Statue of Liberty. Yet the market and the ultra-Orthodox families that frequent it also nods to a more complicated, if equally American story, that of a poor black community that after decades of underinvestment has seen a wave of redeployment and new arrivals. Remember, this is an article about the murder of Jews at a kosher supermarket by black Hebrew Israelites. That's what this article is about. Okay, and can you imagine that sentence? Can you imagine that sentence? By the way, we're showing some of the tape right now. You can see the lead shooter takes a look at the door. If you run it back, you'll see the lead shooter takes a look at the door that is the school, and then quickly turns and enters the supermarket. See, look right there. That's the turn. Okay, that could have been a lot worse. But that sentence from the Washington Post, yet the market and the ultra-Orthodox families that frequent it also nod to a more complicated, if equally American story, that of a poor black community that after decades of underinvestment has seen a wave of redeployment and new arrivals. I'm going to change that language for El Paso, right? Yet the Walmart and the Hispanic families that frequent it also nod to a more complicated, if equally American story, that of a poor white community that after decades of underinvestment has seen a wave of redeployment and new arrivals. If that sentence appeared in the Washington Post, it would get the Washington Post boycotted, and rightfully so, because guess what doesn't justify the mass murder of people on the basis of their ethnicity or their religion? Underinvestment in the local community. Gentrification. This is insane. And the Washington Post continues along these lines. They say more than 100 Jewish families have moved here in recent years, fleeing astronomical housing costs in Brooklyn, settling into affordable homes across the Hudson in the heart of a historic black community. While their arrival prompted fears there would be tension between Hasidic arrivals and the black residents who have been here for generations, many who have moved here say they have found friendly neighbors who made them feel at home. Then on Tuesday, a horrific attack threatened to shatter that goodwill. Oh, it was the attack that threatened the goodwill. We have tape from directly outside the site of the shooting of black residents of the city talking about how the shooting was a good thing. Again, the media coverage of this is so invested in the intersectional politics of the left, it's insane. We have to turn the real story about the Jersey City shooting not into a problem of two black anti-Semites murdering Jews and leave that to a broader conversation of anti-Semitism that exists in every community, and are there problems of anti-Semitism in parts of the black community, particularly in Brooklyn and New Jersey. We're not going to have that discussion. Instead, we're going to talk about gentrification and how Hasidic Jews moving into the neighborhood is creating all of this turmoil. Again, imagine if the Washington Post, in the aftermath of Charleston, wrote a story about how black families moving into white neighborhoods was causing ethnic tensions that led to a shooting. You'd be like, wait, what? What? But that's what this Washington Post story effectually does. It's crazy. Okay, according to the Washington Post, As investigators continue to probe the attack, which comes amid a rise in anti-Semitic violence nationally, this city is grappling with whether the attacks reflect underlying ethnic tensions locally and fears it could spark new ones. Well, maybe you might want to talk with black leaders locally about why they think that this thing happened and whether, in fact, the polls that show outsized black anti-Semitism in the United States are reflective of a dearth of leadership in some parts of the black community. You would certainly do that if the races were reversed. If this had been a Jew who went and shot up a black church, you would get a lot of talk about our rabbis from the pulpit being racist. Is the ethnic tensions between Jews and blacks, are those the fault of...
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, 6 p.m., North State Now.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The Supreme Court says it will hear President Donald Trump's appeal from three lower court cases to keep his tax, bank, and financial records private.
Two of the cases involve subpoenas issued by congressional committees that are led by Democrats in the House of Representatives. One involves an investigation by the Manhattan District Attorney into potential violations of New York state law. The decision is a bit of a reprieve for the president. Had the court decided not to grant certiorari, those records would have been released into the public on the same day as the House of Representatives passed articles of impeachment, which include an article on obstruction of Congress.
That's correspondent George Bonzani. The justices' decision Friday to hear cases involving demands for records from President Trump's banks and accounting firm means the court's likely to issue final rulings in June. President Trump was defiant today after the House Judiciary Committee approved two articles of impeachment against him.
It's a witch hunt. It's a sham. It's a hoax. Nothing was done wrong. Zero was done wrong. I think it's a horrible thing to be using the tool of impeachment, which is supposed to be used in an emergency.
Formal impeachment of President Trump is likely next week. President Trump has announced a Phase 1 agreement on a trade deal with China. We get more now from correspondent or White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
Under the agreement, the U.S. is canceling plans to impose new tariffs on $160 billion worth of Chinese imports Sunday. The president calls it a phenomenal deal and says the existing tariffs will largely remain in place.
And we'll use them for future negotiations on the Phase 2 deal.
The move puts the brakes on a 17-month trade war between the U.S. and China. Mr. Trump says negotiations on Phase 2 of the deal will begin immediately. Greg Clugston, The White House.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here. Maybe you've been hearing about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that helps a person's body deal with inflammation and pain. You've heard all the wonderful testimonials. Well, I have my own testimonial. For many years, my lower back pain was becoming a serious problem. The short story is, I finally gave it a try, and now I'm out of pain too. So if you're in pain, you can order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.18%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 1.375% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Supporters of President Trump are especially suspicious of journalists. That's the result of a new Pew Research study. Correspondent Oscar Wells Gabriel reports the political divide over news credibility is unique to the field of journalism.
The Pew Research Center study finds little difference in attitude toward other professions when you break them down politically. The study, for example, finds little difference in how Trump-supporting Republicans and less supportive GOP members view doctors, lawyers, or police officers. The study does not address whether pro-Trump supporters simply are reflecting his views or whether they are just disinclined to believe journalists.
The study found that 17% of Republicans who somewhat approve of President Trump's performance said they believe journalists have very low ethical standards. 12% of never-Trump Republicans felt that way. However, 40% of Republicans who strongly approve of the president agree that reporters have very low ethical standards. News and analysis at townhall.com. Federal regulators are setting up a new three-digit number to reach a suicide prevention hotline.
Currently, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline uses a 10-digit number, 800-273-TALK-8255. The FCC said in a report there is overwhelming support for a three-digit number because it would be easier. Part of the goal is to ease the stigma attached to seeking help. Dwight Holton with the suicide prevention nonprofit Lines for Life says, quote, no one is embarrassed to call 911 for a fire or an emergency. No one should be embarrassed to call 988 for a mental health emergency. Bob Agnew reporting.
A Florida city is confirming that hackers seeking to extort money were responsible for crippling its computer systems earlier this week. But Pensacola city officials have yet to consider paying out a reported $1 million ransom demand. If it does, so he may have to dig into its own pockets because it's not insured for such an attack. The attackers are known as Mays and claim responsibility. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll be joined by Douglas Carswell. He was one of the leaders of the Brexit movement, former member of Parliament. He'll be stopping by to discuss the major election victory for Boris Johnson in the UK last night. We'll get to that in just a second. Also, we'll be talking about the latest in impeachment gate 2019. The Democrats move forward with their vote in the House Judiciary Committee. They have voted to advance the two impeachment charges written by Jerry Nadler and his fellow Democratic clowns. We'll get to all of that coming up. First, a recap of what happened last night in the UK. Major victory for Boris Johnson. People were quite fearful. I have friends in the UK. A lot of them were quite fearful that Corbyn was competitive. This was particularly true since the polls seemed to be trending in terms of a hung parliament, that Johnson would not actually have enough votes to ram through Brexit. He wouldn't have a governing majority. Instead, he wins a sweeping victory, 80-seat majority in parliament. This has some people on the right in the United States thinking that maybe this is going to presage victory for President Trump in 2020. I'll explain that in a second. But first, Prime Minister Johnson's Conservative Party, according to the Associated Press, has won a thumping majority of seats in Britain's parliament, a decisive outcome to a Brexit-dominated election that should allow Johnson to fulfill his plan to take the UK out of the EU next month. With 642 of the 650 results declared on Friday, the Conservatives had 358 seats, and the main opposition Labour Party had 203. Ouch. Johnson said it looked like the Conservatives had a powerful new mandate to get Brexit done. This makes Johnson the most electorally successful Conservative leader since Margaret Thatcher. It was a disaster for Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of Labour, who is in fact an anti-Semite, who has spent years making nice kissy faces with Hezbollah and Hamas and has been hobnobbing with anti-Semites the world over and dictators and declaring that he's going to nationalize all industry in the UK. He's a nutcase. He went down to flaming defeat yesterday, which is actually the more wonderful of the two stories. If you had to pick between Johnson winning and Corbyn losing, obviously you'd pick Corbyn losing because, great. One of the charming things about British politics is that because each member of parliament has to win their particular seat in their particular constituency, that means that when they give a press conference, they are flanked by all the candidates who did not win because they announced the results in each precinct effectively. So that means that Corbyn, when he's announcing that he has lost in terms of Labour, he won the parliament seat in his district, but he has lost in terms of Labour and that he is going to step down from his position in leadership of Labour. He is flanked on the one side by a very tall man resembling Big Bird and wearing a bizarre hat, which, by the way, is a thing. Like, I kind of love this. Like, Prime Minister Johnson, when he announced his election victory last night, he was flanked on the one side by Elmo and on the other side by Lord Buckethead. Guys, you can't take democracy too seriously, guys. But on the other side, Corbyn is flanked by a Jewish man who is wearing a yarmulke. And you can see that the Jewish man is having himself a wonderful night. Even though he did not win the district, he is happy to watch Jeremy Corbyn go down to flaming defeat.
Campaign. I will discuss with our party to ensure there is a process now of reflection on this result and on the policies that the party will take going forward. And I will lead the party during that period to ensure that discussion takes place and we move on into the future.
Okay, and you can see the Jewish guy looking around like, oh, this is great. This is excellent. Because it is, in fact, excellent. Even Sadiq Khan, who is a leading member of the Labour Party and the mayor of London, he came out, he blasted Corbyn. He said, we have not gotten rid of the anti-Semitism in the party. That is the fault of Jeremy Corbyn. That is correct. That is correct. So Corbyn goes down to absolute flaming defeat, and it is well-deserved. Meanwhile, Boris Johnson moves forward with Brexit. We'll get to that in 1 second. Plus, we'll talk about the American politicians who endorsed Jeremy Corbyn, showing where they stand. First, let's talk about a great holiday gift. So, you got some dudes in your family, or you are a dude, and you want to get yourself a holiday gift. Let me tell you, if you're a Christmas celebrator and you are looking for a great gift, steak. Steak. Now, what's the best steak deal you can get? How about this? For under $70, for $69.99, you get 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped filet mignons, 4 premium pork chops, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steaks signature seasoning packet, plus a free 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board. Where can you get all that? You guessed it, omahasteaks.com. Enter code Shapiro in the search bar, and you can order the favorite gift package. You get all of those wondrous things together for $69.99. I mean, that is one heck of a deal. It is fantastic. If I didn't keep kosher, I would be ordering this stuff right now. Omaha Steaks are the most tender, the most flavorful. You can only get steaks of this quality from Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher. I know this because all of my friends get Omaha Steaks. They're fantastic. Order now. You can get the favorite gift package plus the free 6-piece cutlery set, cutting board for only $69.99. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Shapiro in the search bar. Don't wait. If you want to take advantage of the offer and get your gift, get it there before the holidays are over. Order the favorite gift package today. Okay, so the Democrats had endorsed Corbyn. Bernie Sanders, his campaign manager, actually tweeted out a photo of members of the Bernie Sanders campaign holding up Jeremy Corbyn signs. They were fully on board with the nationalization agenda of Corbyn, of the anti-Semitic agenda of Corbyn. Why? Well, because they're all busy hobnobbing with anti-Semites. I mean, AOC hobnobs with anti-Semites. She does. Linda Sarsour, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib. I'll note that to this point, I'm unaware that any of the members of the squad have actually tweeted out anything about the Jersey City shooting, except for Rashida Tlaib, who originally tweeted out it was white supremacists and then proceeded to pull down the tweet. AOC tweeted out in support of Corbyn, quote, this video is about the UK, but it might as well have been produced about the United States. The hoarding of wealth by the few is coming at the cost of people's lives. The only way we change is with a massive surge of new voters at the polls. UK, vote. And then she tweeted out a video from Jeremy Corbyn. So this did not work, needless to say. This did not work. It was a historic blowout for Boris Johnson. And this has got some people hot and bothered. This has got some people hot and bothered. And wondering whether, in fact, Bernie Sanders, the left wing of the Democratic Party, are headed for a similar fate. Joe Biden is one of those who believes that they very well may be. Joe Biden is coming out and saying, listen, if this is what happens when you move this far to the left in Britain, what do you think happens when you move this far to the left in the United States, where the people are not nearly as far left? Biden said, Boris Johnson is winning in a walk. He predicted that pundits would say, look what happens when the Labour Party moves so, so far to the left. It comes up with ideas that are not able to be contained in a rational basis quickly. He also made comparisons between Boris Johnson and Trump. He says, you're also going to see people saying, my God, Boris Johnson, who's kind of physical and emotional clone of the president, is able to win. Hey, well, that is exactly correct. Now, Boris Johnson is not a perfect one-to-one correspondence with Donald Trump. The man's a classics professor. But with that said, the sort of overt clownishness, the sort of colorful behavior. I mean, there are videos of Boris Johnson driving a bulldozer through a wall, and on the bulldozer it says Brexit, right? That kind of stuff, that's not off-putting to American voters, and it's not off-putting to British voters either. Christopher Hale, who's sort of a left-wing commentator, or at least a commentator who is not of the right, he's a Time Opinion contributor and Fox News Democratic regular. He said, if exit polls from the, he said, I think the UK election results should concern every Democrat running for president tonight. Strange as it sounds, nationalist populism is a global phenomenon. When wedded with right-wing and center-right establishment politics, it's a force with significant power and appeal. Also, many left-wing forces want the Democratic Party to become a democratic socialist movement. That's what Labour did in the UK. It failed big time tonight. I fear the same could happen here if the Democratic Party moves too far to the left. And this is right. This is exactly right. Now, Sanders and Warren are saying, no, we're not Jeremy Corbyn. You know, over in Britain, this was all about Brexit and a singular issue. Yeah, what do you think it's going to be about if you guys are nominated? It's going to be about the nationalization of healthcare. It's going to be about immigration policy. If the Democrats are so far to the left, and they've opened themselves up so wide to a singular attack along these lines, that Trump could easily polarize this election, which is why Biden is still the smart pick for the Democratic Party at this point. It's also true that in Britain, politics tend to be further to the left generally than they are in the United States. Boris Johnson, for example, isn't interested in dismantling the National Health Service. But with that said, Trump has a historically good economy. Trump is gearing up for a strong race for himself. I mean, he's already moving issues off the table. So, for example, today, Trump announced that he had signed this China trade deal that is going to avoid new tariffs on China. It's going to lower some current tariffs that are already on China. This is going to take China off the table as a trade issue going into 2020. That was the leading threat to sink the United States economy leading up to 2020. Backing off the gas on that particular fight until his second term is smart politics by President Trump. Plus, congressional negotiators are putting together a budget deal that will take us beyond 2020. Is it a good budget? No, it's a crap budget. $1.3 trillion is the next step. We're spending like drunken sailors. But for political reasons, Trump getting it off the table makes a lot of sense. He is also pushing forward paid family leave. He's doing that because he says that he wants to presumably reach out to suburban women. Here's President Trump announcing that policy.
But American families are coming first. With more women working today than ever before, we now have a historic opportunity to enact long overdue reforms. It's time to pass paid family leave and expand access to quality.
Okay, so that may not be good politics. I don't like the actual policy, but it's smart politically for him in the run-up to a re-election. All right, coming up, we'll be joined by Douglas Carswell, former member of British Parliament and Brexit leader. He'll be talking to us about the British elections. First, it's the end of the year, right? We're nearing the end of the year. It's time to get done those things that you haven't gotten done all year. What is one of those things? Well, you put off the life insurance. Good news, you're not dead, so you still have time. But now would be the time to get it taken care of so you don't have to think about it ever again. This is why you should head over to PolicyGenius.com. Policy Genius makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. In minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers and find your best price. You could save $1,500 or more per year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They can also help you find the right home and auto insurance, disability insurance. So if you need life insurance but you're not sure where to start, why not start at PolicyGenius.com? It only takes a few minutes to find the right life insurance policy, apply, and cross another thing off your to-do list. Policy Genius. When it comes to life insurance, get it right. Also, home insurance, auto insurance, like all of those things, disability insurance. Get it all done right now. Never worry about it again. And make sure that your family is taken care of in case, God forbid, you plots on Christmas. You don't want that. You want to make sure that your family is taken care of. Be a responsible adult. PolicyGenius.com. Right, coming up, we'll be joined by Douglas Carswell, former member of British Parliament and one of the key leaders of Brexit. He's having himself a pretty great day over in Britain. We'll explain why. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop.